welcome to Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from radio's golden age. Mark Levonier, your host for this hour of sitcoms. Later on, we enjoy an episode of Duffy's Tavern with movie actress Joan Bennett. But right now, it's a day in the life of Dennis Day, singer of the Jack Benny program in his own show, with this episode from May 14th, 1949 on NBC.
Day Show with Barbara Eiler, B. Benadera, Dink Trout, Charles Dant in the orchestra, and yours truly, Vern Smith, is written by Frank Galen and stars our popular young singer in A Day in the Life of Dennis Day. Here's Dennis to sing 5'2", Eyes of Blue.
5'2", Eyes of Blue, but oh, what those 5 foot could do. Has anybody seen my girl? Turned up nose, turned down hose, never had another bow. Has anybody seen my girl? Now if you run into a 5'2" covered with fur, diamond rings and all those things, bet your life it isn't her. Could she love, could she woo, could she coo? Has anybody seen my girl?
Once upon a time, on a bitter winter's day, a poor homeless young man called Dennis Day chanced upon a kind lady named Mrs. Anderson. Seeing that he was cold and hungry and lonely and was willing to pay $7 a week room rent, she allowed him to lodge in her attic, and the young man was very happy, for whereas he had once been cold and hungry and lonely, he was now only cold and hungry. But Mrs. Anderson is not a patient woman, and lately the young man has dropped 3 weeks behind in his room rent, which is why he wears his worried look today as he discusses things with his girlfriend, Mildred.
My gosh, Mildred, what'll I do? Can you imagine what'll happen when I tell her I can't pay my room rent again this week?
Oh, golly, well, can't you make up some kind of excuse for not having the money?
Yeah, but what? The first week I told her my grandmother was sick and I spent the money on the rent on medicine. The next week I said Grandma had to be operated on and I spent the rent for the operation. Third week I said Grandma died and I spent it on the funeral. I feel I've gone about as far as I can with Grandma.
Yes, I guess you have.
See, this time I'm really scared to face her, Mildred.
Oh, now that's just silly. After all, it's only money. And Mother must have heard that she can't take it with her.
I know, but she might send me along first to check on it.
Dennis Day, how dare you talk that way about my mother?
Oh, I don't mean to complain, Mildred. It's been very nice of her to keep me in that room all this time instead of getting another boarder.
Well, it certainly has.
Your mother is a very generous woman.
She has a terribly soft heart.
She's an angel.
As unselfish as they come.
Mildred.
Yes?
Could we stop now? It's making me a little sick.
Oh, golly, Dennis, I'm as worried as you are. If Mother throws you out of here, we'll be separated. Then what's to become of us?
Gee, I don't know. I'd always hoped that you'd be the mother of my children, but if we never see each other again after today, I doubt if the idea is practical.
Me too. Oh, dear, if there were only some way for you to get on her good side before you have to break the news to her.
Yeah, if I did something to make her like me first, maybe she might not toss me.
Oh, hi, Daddy.
Good morning, children.
By golly, maybe you can help us, Mr. Anderson.
Huh?
How do you get around your wife?
What, just keep walking till I'm on the other side?
Oh, no, no, I mean, what do you do to get in good with her?
You see, Dennis is behind in his room rent again, Daddy.
Yeah, 3 weeks, and I'm scared to face her.
Scared of Poopsie? Oh, don't be silly, Dennis. She wouldn't hurt a fly.
I know, but boy, what she does to people.
Oh, nonsense. It's my theory that if Poopsie were ever challenged, she'd back right down. And I've just been waiting for some sucker to try and prove it.
Oh, no. I got a safer idea. You know the old saying, you can't catch more flies with vinegar than I can, honey. I don't think that's exactly right, but you know what I mean.
No, I don't.
Dennis, you mean you're going to use charm on it?
Sure. A few flattering remarks about her beauty, and I'll have her eating out of my hand. Women love that stuff. You just stand here at the kitchen door and listen.
Oh, good morning, Dennis.
Oh, don't move, you great big hunk of gorgeous dream flesh, you.
What?
That face, those eyes, that mouth, those chins cascading down like some lovely...
Now, look here, you.
That body, so definitely human being shaped. You're desirable right from the point of your tiny head to the toes of your great big fat white feet.
Dennis Day, have you lost your mind?
Yes, over you, kiddo. Oh, you're so terribly, terribly lovely. Your glorious figure is that of a schoolgirl.
A schoolgirl? Why, that's ridiculous.
No, there's even a place around your middle where it looks like you're carrying your books.
That'll be just about enough.
But I'm only trying to...
I know exactly what you're trying, and you needn't have bothered. I'm no longer worried about your room rent. I've gone out and gotten you a job.
A job? Me?
Yes. And one you have a chance to keep for a change. Have you ever heard of Wellington Pomeroy Weaver?
Sure, he's from the family that founded Weaverville, isn't he?
Exactly. And he just about runs this city government. So when I read that Weaverville was going to add 50 new men to its police force, I spoke to him about you.
Gosh, you mean I'm going to be a policeman?
Why not?
But will they take me? I mean, my arches have always been so perfect.
So we'll have one policeman who's flat on the other end.
Yes, ma'am.
Mr. Weaver's already notified the department to expect you. All you have to do is pass the physical examination today, and you'll be in uniform tomorrow.
Oh, gosh, I'll go right down to the police station and take it. You're wonderful to do this for me, Mrs. Anderson. And what's more, you don't realize what you're doing for the police department.
Oh, yes, I do. They'll probably have to change their slogan now from crime doesn't pay to hop on the gravy train, boys.
Pardon me. Are you the officer in charge of the physical examinations? I was told to report here.
Oh, yes. Come in. I've been expecting you. The name is Dennis Day.
Really? Gee, there's a coincidence. So is mine.
I didn't say my name was Dennis Day. I said your name was Dennis Day.
Oh, well, that I knew already.
Yes. Sit down, Day, and I'll make out your form. Name, Dennis Day. Age?
22.
Ever had rheumatic fever, high blood pressure, goiter, ulcers, scarlet fever, arthritis, bursitis, or neuritis?
No, sir, but if they're part of the requirements, I'm sure I could dig up the germ somewhere.
Don't bother. We'll make an exception in your case. And now then, shall we take off our clothes?
Oh, I'm quite comfortable, but you go right ahead of me.
Hey, this is a physical examination.
Oh, yes, sir.
And now take off your coat and remove your shirt.
Yes, sir. I'm sure you'll find me in good shape. I always take very good care of myself. There.
Holy smoke, you've disappeared.
What?
Put your coat back on so I can find you.
Oh, I'm quite muscular. It's just that my posture is kind of bad.
Yes, I can see that when your shoulders come in, they'll be round. Well, I'd better get your measurements.
Yes, sir.
Hey, let's see. Arm, 32. Neck, 16, including the shoulders. Chest, 25. All right, sit down and I'll test your reflexes.
My reflexes?
Yes, I just take this little rubber hammer and tap you on the knee, like this. Good heavens, the other leg twists.
Not normal, huh?
In your case, who's to say?
You mean I can't pass the physical? But gosh, I just gotta be a policeman.
Well, it isn't up to me. I just send in this report to Captain O'Hallahan. And I don't know what he'll say when he sees it, even if you are recommended by Wellington Weaver.
Oh, it's Captain O'Hallahan who decides, huh?
Yeah, a tough nut and Irish as Paddy's pig. Doesn't think anybody can make a good cop but an Irishman. Well, here's the report. His office is across the hall. Yeah, good luck.
Thanks. Gee, I wonder if I should. Well, why not? It's worth a try.
Evan! Oh, another rookie for the force, huh? Faith, and that's a pretty sight you are there in your underwear. What's holding you together, scotch tape?
Sure, no, that's a fine way to be talking to a son of the old sod, me bucko and dead, and sure, and it is begotten truth upon me soul.
Well, saints mistress. Me eyes have deceived me. Just a fine strapping hulk of an Irishman. Is it really Irish you are now, lad?
Dennis Terence McNulty O'Grady O'Toole O'Sullivan Shaughnessy J. O'Day is the name, and it's no Lithuania I'm after being.
Well, bless my soul, and you talk like you just come over.
Faith, and I just got off the boat 2 days ago with the potato peeling still clinging to me hair.
Ah, just to see the old sod again. Tell me, lad, tell me. How was Kilkenny when you left?
Sure, and he never looked better in his life.
Ah, to the real Irish sense of humor, you got two now. Well, let's see the report on your physical.
Faith, and here it is.
Let me see now. Chest, neck. Glory be to St. Patrick, son. How did you ever survive the trip?
Oh, I'm stronger than you think, Captain. That I am indeed, your worship, yeah, your honor, but... darling, of thought.
But you've got the measurements of a shillelagh man.
Sure, you'll not judge a man by his measurements, Captain. Why, look at Barry Fitzgerald.
Oh, kneel when you say that name.
Faith, of course. I beg your pardon, your worship, sir, your honor. I'm sorry. Please, Captain, you will put me on the force now, won't you?
Oh, but now, how can I, lad? How can I? Just look at the figures here on this report. Faith, it's an awful chance I'd be taken now.
Did your mother come from Ireland?
Oh, no, no, please don't be doing that
sure,
to me.
Sure, I love the dear silver that shines in her hair.
No, stop it now, stop it, I
when
say.
When Irish eyes are smiling.
Oh, please, lad.
Sure, it's like a morning spring.
Please, lad, please. All right. You're a member of the force as soon as we can shrink a uniform for you.
Oh, bless you, Captain, bless you. And may St. Peter grab hold of your coattails a half hour before the devil knows you're dead. Up the river, very tight.
We'll continue this day in the life of Dennis Day in just a moment. Meanwhile, here's Dennis to sing Someone to Love. Through the influence of Mrs. Anderson's influential friend, Wellington Pomeroy Weaver, and Dennis's Irish brogue, organized crime has received its greatest impetus since Prohibition. Our hero has become a member of the police force. He's been in uniform now just 24 hours, and so far... Well, let's drop down to headquarters and listen in as the lieutenant discusses things with him.
So, you call yourself a policeman, do you, Day? On your beat for 35 minutes, and what happens? A pickpocket makes off with your gun, your handcuffs, and your badge.
Sorry, sir.
Sorry? Where's your pride?
I guess he got that, too.
And when Schultz's delicatessen was robbed a few minutes earlier, what were you doing?
Eating pickles.
Eating pickles?
Yes, sir. I had no choice. One of the robbers shoved my head in the barrel.
Oh, no.
I couldn't help it, sir. She outweighed me.
All right, let's take yesterday. You know when you were walking your beat and those two men came out carrying bags and you helped them into their car?
Yes, sir.
They had just robbed the bank.
Ooh, those sneaks.
Wasn't that nasty of them, though? I don't suppose you happened to get a look at their license plate.
Hmm. Oh, I certainly did.
Well, what do you know? What was it?
Black numbers on a yellow background.
Well, we've narrowed it down to an American car.
Yes, sir.
Say, you haven't done one thing right since you joined the force. Not one. According to the man who owns the fruit stand, you even paid for an apple.
Yes, sir, I realized my mistake when he fainted.
Now listen to me. If it weren't for Wellington Pomeroy Weaver liking you so much, I'd fire you. As it is, I'm going to take you off your beat and put you on traffic detail. Understand?
Yes, sir.
And I want some action, see? I want some tickets handed out.
But what if nobody does anything wrong?
What's that got to do with handing out tickets?
Oh, sorry.
And I'll get out there on the street and watch those drivers. This is your last chance, so help me. Either you hand out some tickets, or you turn in your badge and your Dr. Scholl's foot pads. Is that clear?
Yes, Lieutenant Officer, sir, your worship. Oh, he thinks I'm a failure, huh? Well, I'll show him. We'll see if Officer Day's going to fall down on the job. Just wait till somebody drives past me, and then I'll... Ha-ha! Hey, you! Pull over to the curb!
Why, officer, what did I do?
Are you kidding? You were going 20 miles an hour in a 25-mile zone.
Yes, but I don't...
Don't talk back, Buster. I'm giving you a ticket for slowing.
Now, just a minute, officer.
Resisting arrest, huh?
This is utterly preposterous.
Aha! Using dirty language in front of an officer of the law. You get at least 10 years. Drunk driving, resisting arrest, abusive language.
Why, this is absolutely unheard of.
There's another count against you, ending a sentence with a preposition.
I'll have your job for this, officer. Do you know who I am?
I wouldn't care if you were Wellington Pomeroy Weaver himself, and you... Did I say that name twice, or did one of them come from you?
One of them definitely came from me. I happen to be Wellington Pomeroy Weaver. Now, let's have your name.
It used to be Day. Now it's Mud.
Day? You mean you're the boy I... You?
Yes, sir.
So I did Mrs. Anderson a favor, eh? Well, we'll see about that.
Oh, Mr. Weaver, please.
Shut up! I'll have you off the fort so fast your head'll swim. And what with that water on your brain, it'll have plenty of room to paddle around in. Goodbye, Mr. Day.
I'll say it is.
But, Dennis, it's the craziest scheme I ever heard of. We're going to stage a robbery in Mr. Weaver's house.
Sure, and you're going to be the crook. It's my only way out, Mr. Anderson. If he sees me capture a desperate criminal after a big fight, he'll forgive me and I can still be a cop.
Wait a minute. Did you say a big fight?
Oh, you're not going to object, are you? Gosh, why shouldn't you let a pal slap you around a little in fun when your wife does it so often in dead seriousness?
But, Dennis...
Now, look, here's the scheme. You sneak into the house with this skeleton key. I'll walk around to the front, wait a few minutes, and then come in. We have a big fight, and I capture you, and boy, will I be a hero to Mr. Weaver. Is that okay?
Yes, okay.
See, you're swell, Mr. Anderson. Only don't put up too much of a fight. Remember, I'm kind of fragile. Well, good luck.
Gosh, it sure is dark. Kind of reminds me of when I eloped with Pupsy. Sure hope this time I don't end up with such a long sentence. Well, I better take this key.
Okay, you put up your hand.
Oh, my bashful Aunt Bertha's best Sunday bustle.
Come here, let's have a look at you. Hey, you're a little one, aren't you? Okay, hold out your wrist.
No, wait, you can't do this. Now, please, officer, I can explain.
Explain it. Down at headquarters. Come on.
No, please. Now, I'm innocent.
Come on.
No, I'm innocent.
So, naturally, I didn't have the faintest idea your father had been arrested, Mildred.
And when you went into that dark library and pounced on the man and beat him up, you thought it was Daddy, huh?
Sure. I didn't find out till the lights went on that it was Mr. Weaver who'd been on his way to the kitchen for a glass of Ovaltine.
Well, what did he say to you?
Not much. I think he was too busy bleeding.
Oh, good God.
I'm afraid I ruined his dressing gown, too. I should have remembered to wipe off my feet before I kicked him in the stomach.
Oh, my goodness. Well, never at any time did Mr. Weaver get angry and blow up at your infant?
No, not once. Isn't that remarkable? He's got a really wonderful disposition. Somebody else might have made a lot of trouble for me.
Oh, yes. Well, I guess my time's up. I'll have to run, Dennis.
Yeah. Well, so long, Mildred. I'll see you in 30 days when they let me out.
All right, Dennis.
Unless your mother hasn't changed her attitude toward me by then, in which case I'll see if I can arrange to do 30 more. Goodbye.
Thank you.
musical South Pacific, here's Dennis with Charles Dance arrangement, singing the lovely ballad, Some Enchanted Evening.
Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger.
Dennis Day Show, originally heard over the National Broadcasting Company, has been rebroadcast for you men and women overseas by the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.
A Day in the Life of Dennis Day, on Tuned to Yesterday, better known as the Dennis Day Show at the time, from May 14th, 1949, on NBC. You are listening to an hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. Next, an episode of Duffy's Tavern with special guest movie actress Joan Bennett, who is once quoted as saying, "I don't think much of most films I made, but being a movie star was something I liked very much." In the same year as this next broadcast, she would be in a handful of television appearances and in two motion pictures alongside Paul Douglas and The Guy Who Came Back, and paired with Spencer Tracy in the sequel to Father of the Bride, Father's Little Dividend. She joins Ed Gardner as Archie in Duffy's Tavern next in an NBC episode from January 5th, 1951.
It's Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama, brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia, and by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And now, here we go, friends, to Duffy's Tavern with our guest, Joan Bennett, and starring Archie himself, Ed Gardner.
Hello, Duffy's Tavern. Where do you late meet to eat? Archie the manager speaking. Duffy ain't here. Hello, Duffy. Big crowd here tonight. A whole bunch of familiar faces I ain't seen for months. I don't know. Must have been a jailbreak. Huh? Yeah, you should see the list of reservations. Second Story Jackson, Machine Gun Van Smythe, Slop Bucket Sal, Nelly the Safe Cracker, Joan Bennett. Huh? Joan Bennett, Duffy, you know her. Well, remember when you married Mrs. Duffy 25 years ago and she stood there wearing a lovely bridal veil? Well, Joan looks like what you expected to find when you lifted the veil. Yeah, and a beautiful face, too. A figure? Well, you know, it's kind of nice and slatsy. One of them debutante figures, you know. It comes out in all the right places. Yeah, and very refined, you know, real déclassé. The kind of a dame that you don't whistle at. You can't, your tongue is hanging out. Well, she don't know it, Duffy, but tonight Joan Bennett hits the high peak of her career. Yep, she's going to have a date with me. Huh? Well, we'll probably take in a show and go to a nightclub, and naturally I'll have to pelt her with flowers and bonbons. Duffy, you know, that'll run into quite a bit of dough, so I was wondering if maybe you could see your way clear to... Hello? I guess he wants to take it with him. Say, Yasha. Yasha. Where is that Yasha Panyaslav?
How do you do? Say, boss.
Huh?
You are calling me?
Well, if I holler for Yasha Panyaslavnik, who else would I be calling?
I don't know. Yasha Panyaslavnik is such a common name.
Yes, it is. It's just like John Smith.
That name I never heard of.
You've never been in the hotel business. Well, what I wanted to tell you, Yasha, I just remembered, I owe you $5.
That is correct.
Yeah. Tell me, would you mind giving me an extension on that loan?
An extension?
Yeah, could you let me have another $5? Well, what do you say? How about it, Yasha?
Call me Captain John Smith. By the way, for what purpose are you wanting this $5 that I am not lending you?
Well, I'm planning to take Joan Bennett out tonight and paint the town red.
Paint the town red?
Yeah.
These days on $5, you won't even tint it.
Well, we'll see about that. Miss Duffy.
Yeah?
Look, I'm in a jam. I got a date with Joan Bennett tonight.
Joan Bennett?
Yeah.
What makes you think she'd go out with you?
Pray, why not?
Well, a movie star like her can get dates with men that are handsome and glamorous.
Continue.
And intelligent.
Yes.
Cultured.
You see, I can't miss. The only thing is, I got to have $5.
You're going to take out Joan Bennett with $5?
Well, with a high-class tomato like that, you can't be cheap. Now, say, you got to go whole hog.
Hello, Arch.
Oh, hello, Finnegan. I trust you are well this evening, Clifton, old pal.
Don't act so friendly. I heard the conversation.
Oh. Well, have you got any dough?
Not until I get me allowance.
Your allowance?
Yeah. The 50 cents a week my father gives me for taking a bath.
You make your poor father give you 50 cents a week to take a bath?
Why not? My mother gives him $1 a week to take one.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So he splits it with me, and I take it for him.
Well, that sounds like a nice, clean deal.
Yeah. By the way, Arch, what do you need your $5 for?
Well, I'm going to take out a dame.
You going to spend $5 on a dame?
Yeah.
$5 on a dame?
Yeah.
But, Arch, for that kind of dough, you could buy a catcher's mitt.
Finnegan, there's other things in the world to get excited over besides catcher's mitts.
You mean fielder's gloves?
I mean dames.
Oh, them things.
Don't tell me you don't like dames.
Nah. All I want to do is to go out with you, hold your hand, kiss you.
Well, is that bad?
I don't know. So far, I ain't let none of them get away with it.
Well, to each his own. Now, where can I get $5, though?
Archer. What about the cash register?
Oh, Finnegan, you know I could never do a thing like that. But if I should turn my back and a friend of mine should...
Oh, I get it, Arch. Close your eyes. Say, Arch, would you like to borrow $5?
Oh, thank you, Finnegan. Wherever did you find it?
If I had the wings of an angel...
Now, look, Yasha, this is not Larson. The cash register is just lending me $5.
Yes, just like the trains used to lend money to Jesse James.
Miss Duffy, give me that phone, will you?
Who are you calling?
El Morocco. I'm going to preserve Joan Bennett.
What?
You didn't give me a chance to finish. I'm going to preserve Joan Bennett and me a table at El Morocco. Oh, it's great to be young, love. Warm corpuscles in your veins.
And a hot five in your pocket.
Right. Hello, El Morocco? I'd like to talk to Elmer. Oh. Then who is the manager? John Perona? Oh, he's an old friend of mine. Put him on. Hello, John. This is Archie of Duffy's Tavern. I'd like to reserve a table for... Archie. Tall with the pinstripe suit. Huh? No table. Well, look, I don't know whether it means anything, but a couple of friends of mine are associated with your organization. Well, there's a Mr. Ryan and a Mr. Johansson. No longer with you, huh? Oh, you're using an electric dishwasher now. Well, look, anyway, just for old time's sake, John, how about a table? Call you again around the middle of October? Nothing sooner, say, around September? Too bad. I'm coming down with Joan Bennett. A ringside table, huh? Well, thanks, John, old pal. Nice to have talked to you again. You see, Miss Duffy, there's magic in me name. And now, if you don't mind, will you watch the place for a minute? I got to go down to Cavendish, the undertaker.
Cavendish, the undertaker? What for?
Well, in case Miss Bennett wants to go formal, I got to see that she has flowers.
What a lucky girl.
Yes, thank you.
I can see her now in El Morocco with that wreath around her neck. Half of the people will think she's a movie star, and the other half will think she's just won the Kentucky Derby.
Hey, you're nuts, Miss Duffy. It's a very hip crowd at El Morocco, and I'm quite sure that they're aware that a filly never won the Kentucky Derby since 1915. Excuse me. Hello? Who's this? The barber shop? Oh, just a second. It's for you, Miss Duffy. It's your boyfriend, Tony the Barber.
Well, tell him I ain't here.
Hello? She says she ain't here. Huh? Okay. He says to tell you he didn't call you.
Oh, that cheap barber. Tell him to go soak his head.
Hello, Tony. Go soak your head. Huh? Okay, I'll tell her.
What'd he say?
He says in the future you can shave yourself.
Give me that phone. Look, Anthony, you got a nerve calling me after that party Saturday night. Well, every time I looked at you, you were all red with lipstick. You can explain the lipstick? How? You're part Indian? Well, get this, Anthony. Our engagement is over. I'm not making any more payments on the ring. Goodbye. Archie, now that I've broken up with Anthony, how about going out on a double date?
What do you mean?
Well, you have a date with Joan Bennett. How about getting one of your friends for me?
Look, Miss Duffy, I know two kinds of guys. Them I like and them I dislike. Them I like, I ain't gonna get a date with you. And them I dislike, that much I don't dislike. Now get your mind back on business and watch the joint here. I gotta go out and dig up some flowers for Joan Bennett.
Oh, Miss Duffy, which dinner shall I serve Miss Joan Bennett? The 50-cent dinner or the dollar dinner?
What's the difference? The food is the same.
Most, of course. But for the dollar dinner, you sit closer to the stomach pump.
Now, don't be funny, Yasha. Just take good care of Miss Bennett. And don't forget, she and I are double dating tonight.
Double dating?
Yeah.
Whom, may I ask, is taking you?
Well, say, what are you doing tonight?
So sorry. I have a previous engagement with the stomach pump.
You men, you're all alike. I suppose if I was a movie star, I'd be different.
If you was a movie star, you'd be different.
Oh, yeah? Well, I've seen pictures of them movie stars, and believe me, when they get up in the morning, they're just flesh and blood, too.
You're so right, dearie.
Say, who are you?
I'm Joan Bennett.
I'll take the flesh.
Well, Joan Bennett, look at you. You don't look a day over. Pardon me.
Who are you?
Don't you remember?
Well, the face is familiar. Do you have a name?
I'm Miss Duffy.
Oh, yes, Miss Duffy.
Yeah, gee, I haven't seen you for 5 years.
That's right, and I haven't seen you for 5 years either.
Putting on a little weight, aren't you, dearie?
By the way, how's Archie these days?
Oh, about the same.
As jerky as ever, huh? Where is he?
He went out for some flowers. He's going to ask you for a date tonight.
Oh, goody.
Don't be flattered. He'll make a pass at anything.
Has he ever made a pass at you?
Well, let's change the subject.
All right, what'll we talk about?
Let's get back to men. Ain't it awful how hard it is to get a date? Honest, these days one lipstick lasts me for 3 or 4 months. How about you? How are you doing?
Oh, I do okay. I get a date anytime I want.
How?
It's a cinch. I just tell him I'm Connie's sister.
How does Connie get dates?
She tells them she's Barbara's sister.
Oh, you gotta have pull. Well, I wish you could do something to get me a date.
Well, you shouldn't have too much trouble.
But I'm so fussy and hard to please.
Then find someone who isn't.
That's my trouble. I just can't even find anyone like that.
Well, I'll do what I can for you, Miss Duffy. Maybe we can go out on a double date.
A double date? Oh, gee, Joan, that'd be wonderful. Is it a promise?
Okay, it's a promise.
Joan, I'm sorry to have kept you waiting for me. How long have you been dilatory?
I've only been here for 10 minutes.
Oh, 10 minutes, huh? Did it seem like a lifetime?
Well, now that you mention it, no.
Well, anyway, I'm glad to see you. By the way, these flowers is for you.
Oh, well, thank you. I'll bet they were lovely.
Well, they may seem to droop a little, but that, dear lady, is because they are bowing their petals in deference to thine own far greater beauty.
A very pretty speech.
Thank you. Incidentally, their stems don't stack up with yours neither. May I place them around your neck?
Please, a wreath.
It's Stop worrying. In Hawaii, it's quite the custom, you know.
Oh, just a minute. What's this card?
What card?
It says, "Goodbye, Joe. Signed, the boys of Local 802.
That just shows it was grown in a union hothouse.
Say, Arch!
Yeah, Finnegan?
Say, why do you say we go down to the ballpark and bat out some fungos?
Look, I'm sorry. I'm busy, Finnegan.
Oh. How about you, sister?
I'd love to, but I forgot to bring my mask and chest protector.
Well, some other time. Say, Arch, is this the dame you're going to spend all that dough on?
Yeah, Finnegan, we'll take a look. What do you think?
I'd still rather have a catcher's mitt.
Finnegan, you're being very impolite to a very famous lady.
Famous?
You've seen the woman in the window?
Have I? Every night across the alley. You sure look different with your street clothes on, sister.
Finnegan, please. You'll have to pardon Finnegan, Joan. You see, when he was an infant, he was a bottle baby.
But lots of babies are bottle babies.
Inside the bottle?
Finnegan, please. Your brains.
Well, what about them?
They went that away.
Well, they won't get away this time. Hey, you, come back here.
Oh, no, no. Look, Joan, leave us get back to business here. I don't know whether you know it or not, but it happens that I'm not married.
You're not?
Nope. I don't even have a girlfriend.
You don't?
Nope. I'm not doing nothing tonight, neither.
You lead a pretty dull life, don't you?
Well, look, what I'm trying to say is I'd like a date with you tonight.
No fooling?
Well, maybe a little. Well, what do you say?
Well, I don't know, Archie. I'm kind of afraid to go out with you.
Why?
Well, you're so devastating. Suppose I fall madly in love with you.
Listen, Joan, I think too much of you to let you get hurt. I'll tell you what, at first I'll only turn on half of me to vestetation. Well, what do you say? They're waiting for us at El Morocco.
El Morocco? Isn't that expensive?
You think you're going out with a bum? Look, honey, them flowers I gave you, not that I'm beefing, but they set me back a sweet half a buck. No, and that ain't tin.
Oh, say, Joan.
Yes, Miss Duffy?
I just got some of this new Lady Mandelbaum's face cream. And I can't for the life of me remember. Before you put it on, do you open your pores or close them?
In my case, I just leave them slightly ajar. What kind of cream is that again?
It's called Lady Mandelbaum's Hormone Cream.
Do you use much of it?
Oh, every night. First I put on the vanishing cream, and then I put almond cream on my lips, and then I cover it all over with cold cream.
Does it help?
Yeah, but she has to sleep with her head in the icebox to keep her face from curdling.
Be quiet, Archie. Joan, don't forget our double you-know-what.
I won't.
Look, Joan, this place is very unconducive to romance. Why do you say we shove over to El Morocco, huh?
All right, Archie. I'll go out with you on one condition.
Anything you say. What is it?
I want you to get a date for a friend of mine.
For a friend of yours? And how? Give me that phone. Hello, Frankie. Arch. How's it? Attaboy. Hey, how'd you like to go stepping with a dame tonight? Huh? Just a second. Joan, I forgot to ask you, what's your friend's name?
Miss Duffy.
Frank, I'll call you back. Joan, tell me that me ears just heard a mirage.
No, Archie, I think Miss Duffy is a very nice girl. And if you can't find a fellow for her, then our date is off.
Got to get a fellow. Oh, Brooklyn Navy Yard? You got anyone there that's been away for a long, long time? Now, where am I going to get a date for Miss Duffy? Well, Finnegan...
Yeah, Arch?
Finnegan, would you like to do a favor for your old friend, Archie?
For you, Arch, I'd do anything. I'd climb the highest mountain. I'd swim the deepest river. I'll stick me head in the furnace.
Good boy, Finnegan. I knew I could count on you.
To do what, Arch?
To go out with Miss Duffy.
Arch, couldn't I just stick me head in that furnace?
Another one of me foul weather friends. Hey, wait a minute. Oh, Yasha.
At your service, boss.
Yasha, how would you like to go dancing with Miss Duffy?
Unfortunately, I am unable to dance with a broken leg.
Your leg ain't broken.
I'll break it.
Oh, this is awful. Look, Joan, can't we just go out alone?
No, we made a bargain. We don't go out unless you get a date for Miss Duffy.
But this is terrible. Who'd go out with her? This is a face worse than death. Wait a minute. I got a guy that might do it. Yeah, and a big shot, too. This guy makes a lot of dough. Oh, Fulton Fish Market? Mackerel department, please. Hello, mackerel? I'd like to talk to Willie Hockhauser. Yes, the head mackerel scraper. You like Willie, Joan. He's a great guy.
Yes, he sounds like quite a catch.
Yeah, it came up the hard way, you know. Started out as a mere boy scraping sardines.
But we can't ask Miss Duffy to go out with a fish scraper.
Why not? I'll wear a lot of perfume.
Quiet. Hello, Willie? Arch. Say, Willie, how'd you like to go out on a double date tonight? Well, mine's Joan Bennett. Who's yours? Miss Duffy. Okay.
What'd he say?
He says he'll scrape mackerel, but he won't scrape the bottom of the barrel.
That Willie Hockhauser, my father had bought his last mackerel from him.
Look, Joan, can't we forget Miss Duffy and just let you and me be a gaysome twosome?
No, Archie. Either get a date for Miss Duffy or you'll be a lonesome onesome.
But, Joan, you don't know what you're asking. Three matrimonial bureaus have classified this dame 2G. Too ghastly. I don't know who to get.
Well, how about that florist friend of yours? Maybe he can dig up one of his friends.
Miss Duffy, if the guy ever came back to life, the shock would kill him. Oh, no, we got to get somebody else now.
Say, Arch, huh? What about Niles McConnell?
Hey, that's an idea. What's his number again?
Wait a minute, Archie. That's not that dopey Niles McConnell that hangs around Hurley's saloon all day.
Yeah, I can't think of his number.
Niles McConnell, that bald-headed jerk with thick glasses?
Yeah.
With the cauliflower ears and the gold teeth?
That's him.
Circle 7, 8300.
Hello, Niles. This is Archie. Look, I'd like you to do me a favor. What do you mean, no? I didn't even ask you. Oh, the guys from the Fulton Fish Market tipped you up. Miss Duffy, I'm afraid we are now fighting the grapevine.
Wait a minute, I'll get Miss Duffy a date. Let me have that phone. Hello, Boris? What are you doing? Swell. Meet us at El Morocco in half an hour.
Who was that?
Boris Karloff.
Wait a minute. Boris Karloff. That's a little too tough on Miss Duffy, ain't it? With all the actors, you know. Why Boris Karloff?
Well, as Miss Duffy says, we girls should stick together, and I don't think her date should be any better looking than mine.
Thank you.
Listen again next week, friends, to Duffy's Tavern, the Friday night transcribed feature on NBC's All-Star Festival of Comedy, Music, Mystery, and Drama, brought to you by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia, and by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. Listen tomorrow evening for The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, the Saturday night feature of the All-Star Festival.
Duffy's Tavern on Tuned to Yesterday from the 5th of January 1951 on NBC, bringing to a close this hour of sitcoms on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's past. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVernier. Thanks for tuning in.